It's all golden to me.
It's my dream to have a golden beard.
Younger but looks older.
I'll even try a squat. Here we go. The 6 of clubs.
The golden.
Welcome to another episode of the Talk Golden to Me video podcast show. Your host, Evan Golden. I got the golden hat going on, golden TV. I'm just feeling it. I had to look my best because in-house I have the celebrity makeup artist, the makeup artist to the stars, Mr. Tim Quinn is in the studio today. We're excited to have you. So much to talk about with tips and trends and what to do, what not to do with makeup. And I know you've been just... I have to add the word humanitarian to your name because you've just done, you're doing so many amazing things for the community, and we want to get into it all. So Tim Quinn is here with us in the studio, came very far. He's looking tan. He's looking fine. He's going to be dancing in a ballroom battle to raise money for the George Snow Foundation this upcoming weekend. So many things going on with him. I'm excited to cover it all and talk about it all. Tim, welcome, sir, to the show. Feeling good? Looking good?
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I'm delighted. Thank you for reaching out to me.
Of course, Tim. We wanted to talk about you because you kind of had all the elements that we kind of look for when we're looking for our guest. Us, we really want to maintain kind of committed to the community, and you really emphasize that. And let's talk a little bit about how you've kind of became a humanitarian. It seems that when you're not putting makeup on celebrities, you're constantly giving back to the needy. Is that kind of your aspiration? Is that your mission now?
It definitely is. I think that it came about from a fight I had with cancer 12 years ago. And I, you know, when I came through, and I was really very sick. Like, I was told maybe I'd never walk again kind of situation. I decided, like, well, you know, I'll do this job, and it seemed kind of silly to me. But when I realized the value, because while I was in the hospital, I was in the hospital for 9 weeks, off and on, having chemo, radiation, surgeries, all this. The devastating effects of treatment, more on women, but on men too, and children, which really, you know, touched me. I realized that what I do would, like, made people feel themselves again for a moment, and kind of took you outside of this battle, you know. So I've kind of left that world. You know, I'm very fortunate I get to do the job I do, but it also provides me the opportunity to do what I love doing.
Wow. So a cancer survivor, now an advocate.
Right.
What kind of cancer did you have?
So I had testicular cancer in my pelvis, which is, like, you know, now I've become such an expert on cancers, but I didn't know you could have breast cancer in your bones. You know, it's the type of cancer and where it manifests itself. And, of course, it's, you know, like everything else, when you catch it, you know, what kind of treatment you have access to. We're very fortunate here that we have an amazing cancer center. I was treated in Boston because I lived there part-time, and had terrific friends who I reached out to, because men don't do that. You know, I surround myself with women. Women are very much about, you know, their tribe. Men, like, zip it. Like, nobody talks. Except for after 9 weeks, when I still kind of, in my head, I still looked good. And everybody else, the other guys who were being treated different cancers, weren't looking as well. All of a sudden, they were at my door, like, what exactly did you do? Why does your skin look like that? You know, because it does everything. You lose weight, you lose your hair, you lose your skin tone, you lose texture.
From chemo, though.
Yeah.
How did you know you were feeling different? What made you kind of...
Silly, I had, like, I used to run. I don't really run anymore. I had neuropathy, like, in my left leg, neurotic pain. I went to the doctor, and they said it was probably from traveling so much, you know, sitting on an airplane. They called it coach class syndrome at one point. So I took a little, you know, muscle relaxer for a bit, but I was in Paris for Fashion Week and my leg collapsed.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, literally pulled the bar out of the shower. Like, couldn't move. Had to be flown home, the whole bit. It took a while, actually, because, again, like, I didn't know enough about, you know, cancers and finding the right diagnosis and the right doctor, which was really important, finding somebody who totally gets you, you know, because if I listened to the first surgeon, they were going to cut the tumor out, and I wouldn't have use of my leg. So, yeah, it's like a lot of stuff.
Well, we appreciate you being an advocate, and you're resilient, and you're a fighter, and now you have the gift of making people beautiful, makeup artist. Is that a stressful job? What is it like?
The farthest thing from stress.
It is.
It's like, it's such a fun job. I mean, because my job is so, the scope is so wide. I mean, I could be working with a celebrity. I could be doing, I'm the rep for the brand, so I do personal appearances all over. I was just at the film festival in Venice for 10 days. Like, that was not so difficult. You know, sometimes it's like any job, you know, there's always gonna be that one person who's gonna drive you crazy. But again, it's just makeup. It's kind of like building a sandcastle, you know, like, it's beautiful for a minute, you know. And of course, you know, and beauty is a point of view. So I feel like, you know, if someone comes to me and they have this look, like, with that, you know, crazy overdrawn lip and the whatever, it's trying to like guide them into something that's a better version of themselves, because sometimes we only see ourselves in one way, you know? So like, it's a little bit of a psychiatrist. There's a lot going on.
It's rewarding though. I mean, you're making people feel good, look good. So
100%. It's super fun. And usually it's on, you know, like if it's with celebrities, it's, you know, on days that's like probably their very important day, the Oscars, the Emmys, whatever. If it's a bride, it's always on a day where somebody's having a moment. But then again, you know, with the other stuff I get to do, you know, with Look Good, Feel Better and things like this, you're dealing with women and men, not as much with men, who are feeling really defeated or have to go to work while dealing with these ravages of whatever it is. It could be something, it could be as simple as a divorce. I mean, over the years I've acquired, my friends always say I have like a collection of people across you know, the world, but there's that common bond, you know?
Certainly. And obviously, like you're saying, usually it's kind of a big stressful day. Maybe it's a movie premiere, it is a wedding, or, you know, maybe it's a film shoot. So they already have that stress and they want to rely on you. Do a lot of them kind of, are they the ones that just say, hey, Tim Quinn, you're the expert, do your magic? Or they're like, listen, I want this. Or is it kind of case by case client?
There's a little of both. I kind of weed those clients out, because if you know what you want to do, then you can do it yourself better than me. And sometimes, and I have a couple clients, very well-known clients, who I'll just sit back and watch them do their own makeup. They just want me there, like, I don't know, it's like a comfort thing, you know?
Tell me about, listen, I see a lot of the women where they have full makeup on and you can literally see the line underneath their chin where the makeup stops and where it starts. I'm not a big fan of, like, a lot of makeup. To me, you know, the less is kind of more. Maybe you'll disagree with me on that, but people that are doing their own makeup, what type of tips, strategies, ideas, what can they do to just make sure that, you know, they're not having the line? Or
I mean, there's no reason for that anymore anyway, because the technology of foundations, if that's what you're going to use, it's changed so dramatically. There's a skin tone. You know, when I launched Armani 18 years ago, we had 12 shades. Now we have 40. So there's no reason that you couldn't have a complexion color that matches.
Something for everybody, right?
You know, and even if it's not, it could be L'Oreal. At every price point, there's something. It's also, you know, not looking at Instagram and thinking that's how your face should look, because, you know, there's filters. Like, you know, you have to think about real life. And I think that that's what sometimes get caught up in. You know, they see it on TV or they see a celebrity and think that that's the look, but that's their look, you know?
What's your opinion on filters?
I mean, I enjoy them, believe me. If I didn't use them on some of my things, I just posted something having the spray tan and put a filter on it. But so long as you realize that, you know, that's not real life. Like, people actually are still seeing you right here in front of them. And that's where I think that you know, sometimes, I don't have a great poker face. So sometimes when I do a personal appearance and I'll turn around, I'm like, oh, look at this. Take that off. You know? But, you know, my whole thing is, like, natural beauty. Complexion is very important, you know. I don't like to see makeup on someone. There's really no reason to. It's really just supposed to be there to enhance, not to mask everything.
See, I think that's the key element. I think we might need to repeat that to the viewers and our listeners, is that you're not looking to mask. You're just looking to enhance.
And it's hard because I know that some people try to hide behind it. And then there's also the fantasy makeup and things like that. That's different, you know. But, you know, the core of what I like is, like, that beautiful, just all-American look, you know, beautiful skin. Nobody should be complimenting your eyeshadow.
Tell me how you get started. I mean, I think that there's so many makeup artists that have that aspiration to be doing makeup on the level that you're doing it for the biggest stars in the world, the biggest events gigs. How did you parlay your talent into that market?
You know, because I do a lot of mentoring, so I spoke in Miami recently to a group of young artists. Everybody has a different path. It's different than, say, like, you want to go to be an attorney, like, you have to go to law school, you have to do whatever. I have a degree in economics, like, and that had nothing to do with it. I just found something I happened to like, and I started doing it. And I always said yes when people asked me. This is part of my problem even still. If somebody said, oh, can you do this? So the first movie I went to work on, I didn't know how to do movie makeup. I didn't know anything about it. When I said yes, I showed up. After a day, I was like, this is not for me. Because there's a lot of waiting around, you know, and some people want to do that. End up getting a little part in that movie and becoming a line producer. So it was like I learned something different. But I feel like there's always a path to something. And a lot of, like, young artists who work with me, like, you have to say yes and sometimes step out of your comfort zone. You're not going to be famous tomorrow, you know. It's like, and that was never my end goal anyway. I just do it because I like it. But I feel like there's this thing going on now where everybody just, you know, wants to be a reality star, wants to make it instantly. They forget to see the work that goes behind it, you know, and it's important.
Got to pay those dues for sure. You got to pay those dues. And I think that a lot of people want to kind of jump right into that market. And you know, you got to work your way up to get there.
You know, and you learn some. I mean, I'm learning all the time, you know, and from everything I do. Now, even this whole experience with the dancing, like, the makeup for ballroom is so not my thing. Like, mm-hmm. some of them were like, what am I doing? But, you know, I understand it because you have to appreciate, you know, seeing it from a stage or, like, you're working with a green screen. You learn something every day if you're open to it, you know?
Great attitude. I'm talking to Tim Quinn. This is the celebrity makeup artist. He's a cancer survivor. He's an advocate and now add humanitarian to his list of accomplishments and titles. Hopefully you'll take that with a lot of pride and joy because it's the truth.
Yeah, no, I enjoy it. I mean, I'm very fortunate that I get to do, you know, back when I was going through cancer treatment, you might know who she was. A lot of people don't know Farrah Fawcett was, but Farrah was one of my good friends and we were sick at the same time. So she left her estate to cancer research. So they just had the event. I had to miss it this year, but she's raised quite a lot of money for specifically anal cancer research, which nobody wants to talk about. You know, and here you're arguably one of the most beautiful women of the 70s and 80s and never lost her cool. Like, there was an amazing documentary my friend Alana Stewart did. So I learned a lot through Farrah's grace of dealing with it. You know, and now I go on, I work with other, you know, I get asked to do so much, but my little brother was very involved in mentoring a young kid from Boca here who is autistic. And that's how my business partner and I got together because he was really terrific in helping Jack, you know, move past that. And the autism spectrum, you know, it's such a wide spectrum. But Marla and Steve, her husband, we have this Peace, Love, Solve.
Yeah, that's what I want to talk about. So Tim has created something called Peace, Love, Solve, and this is specifically raising awareness for autism, correct?
Correct. And it's really just clothing for our cause. You know, we don't make money on it. It's really just giving back. But over the years, and we've kind of branched out now because people would come to us. So we design T-shirts. We've done it for the Cancer Center. We've done it. I'm very involved with Mass General Cancer Center with different organizations that come and say, oh, you know, we want to. So we basically just make nothing on the shirt, but we do the design. Marlo create it. We'll do these fun little shirts. I have a lot of fun with that, actually, because, you know, it gives people, like, an opportunity to have a dialogue about something that sometimes they don't want to talk about.
Yeah.
You know?
That's nice. Follow that on Instagram, viewers and listeners. That's Peace, Love, Solve, right on Instagram, raising awareness, inspiring acceptance, and made with a lot of love and heart. And the proceeds are going right to Autism Speak, specifically with children. So amazing cause. And I know that you also have a couple other initiatives as well. Tell me about the Seashell Project. It's almost like a tongue twister.
I know. It's very difficult. That Marla and I, she actually started it. They moved over to Highland Beach. And they were walking the beach, and you're always collecting shells. And it was kind of just the idea of, you know, painting them, like, forced me to do it. But it's actually really fun. And then maybe put, like, a message on it, and you kind of leave it behind somewhere. So we reached out. Actually, one of my friends, my college roommate, is a teacher in Connecticut, so we sent him all the supplies. Oops. And his kids did it up there and kind of, like, started a little viral thing. My dad is in assisted living here. He has MS, and he loves to paint. So, you know, the same thing. It's like, it just gives somebody the feeling of, like, you're giving back a little, even if it doesn't cost money to give back, you know?
Hey, those little things go a long way. That someone that could read that and find that message could do wonders. I'm sure you've heard some amazing
stories.
Yeah, I
mean, it makes you smile. You know when you come across something that just likes to make you smile? Mm-hmm. Everybody has a seashell moment from their past.
Tell me kind of the concept, the rules. So if I find a seashell, can I keep it? If I keep one, do I have to make one? What's kind of like the rules?
No, there's really no rules. That's the whole thing about it. It's like, it's supposed to be like what inspires you. And so we've had people write in. I mean, they paint them with nail polish. You know, like, you don't have to have oil paints. You could do it with, you know, markers. There's no reason or rhyme. I mean, some people actually hoard them, but I think it's more fun to give things away.
Certainly. So awesome causes. We have Peace, Love, Solve, which is awesome for autism. We have the Seashell Project, which is just so inspirational, so rewarding.
It's just kindness, yeah.
That's it. Listen, I always tell people it's cool to be kind, and I try to promote that as much as I can. Listen, the reason why I wear gold all the time, it's not just because of my last name. I try to spread a certain type of golden energy, vibes, and positive energy, and that's kind of my whole mission. So I'm right there with you. So not only are you helping with autism and kindness, I want to talk about ballroom dancing. I heard that you are now getting out of the behind the scenes of makeup and now going to be the star of the show, right on the stage. You're going to be dancing for a cause. Tell me all about this ballroom
battle. So one of eight. There's eight of us.
So competing. Eight of you guys are competing.
All local residents. And it's for the George Snow Scholarship Fund specifically. I'm not sure how many years they've been doing this, but it's all local celebrities who dance and basically raise money for the foundation. So this year they gave out close to $1.4 million to local Palm Beach residents, kids in high school going to college in need. And they do that. And what I love about it, my dad is a teacher. So, you know, the importance of education, I think, is not stressed enough. And, you know, if you don't have access to really going forward with your life and people who inspire you, it's really amazing. So Tim Snow, who's the son of George, and Debbie, who helped run it, it's amazing what they do. They actually follow these kids through college. Like, if somebody's having a bad moment, they'll send them a care package. You know, they'll reach out to the army of people here who donate. It's really pretty amazing. So the Ballroom Battle is their big fundraiser. And basically, we've been learning one dance each all summer. It's kind of like Dancing with the Stars, although they have to use one a week.
Makes you appreciate money. How hard that is on that show, right?
It's so hard. Like, I've learned one routine all summer long, and I still don't really know it.
We're going to make you show some moves on the show here.
It's a lot, I'm telling you.
what's the style? What are you doing? Tango? What are we doing?
I'm doing
salsa?
The tango.
Wow.
Everybody, it's a spy theme this year, so there's a spy, you know, moment to everything we do. And then there's a – so I've been away, so I come back after learning all summer long how to do this one dance to find out we have to do a group dance. So that's where I just came from now.
Like adding another one.
It's like – and, you know, group dance is different. When I dance, I don't wear my glasses because I'm a little ADD. So if I see somebody else doing something, it's like a bright, shiny thing over there. I'm like, oh, look at that. So with now with like 40 people on dance floor, I'm like, oh, there's a lot.
If you make some mistakes, they won't see. There's a lot of people moving.
But, you know, it's supposed to be like, you know, we're not looking to, you know.
Of course. All for fun and all for a great cause. They're putting the fun in fundraiser. I want all our viewers and listeners to actually go to ballroombattle.com, and you could actually donate right on the website to support Tim Quinn and his mission, and obviously a great, great cause. So I'm going to try to attend that event because I got to see you move out there. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to it. I guess there's like 800 people this year. It's at the Boca Raton Resort.
800 people watching you move.
But again, I won't have my glasses on, so I can't see them.
So you won't see nothing.
Fine.
Yeah, the
fine.
Lights will be in your eyes. That is awesome. You really are a true humanitarian. You're an advocate. You were dealt an unfortunate health, you know, issue, and you survived. You overcame it, and now you're just continuously just kind of giving back, which is applaudable for you.
But I think that's for anyone. Everybody's going through something, you know. It's like, oh, and I mentioned to you about my mom because, of course, I have to bring my mother into it. A few years ago, my little brother died of alcoholism, which is a terrible disease. I haven't actually done much with that yet. I'm going to have to focus on that. 39 years old, you know. But my parents, you know, took it very hard, obviously. My mom, we're not really 100% sure what's going on there, but I ended up moving her in with me, which I never thought I'd be that person. But she was really depressed, so I started doing her makeup, like, on camera, just for her, like, mm-hmm. on FaceTime. But what I saw was that all of a sudden, this woman came back that I remember, because she had been in assisted living for about a minute and a half, but when you have like psychological issues or something, they just medicate you, you know. And we're not medicated people, so I would go in and see her. She's like lethargic, whatever. So I took her out, moved her home, started doing this, and like her life turned around. It was like crazy. She started having a following. ABC News picked up on this story. It went viral. Like it was. And so now when I take her out in town, she really thinks she's a celebrity, and you know I've kind of created a monster because when my sister comes down. Obviously, I do my mother's hair, makeup, glamour up the whole bit. My sister doesn't do any of that, so she, you know, now I'm the favorite child. But it's important, I think, because
that's nice.
You know, I spend so much time in Europe where we don't dismiss the elderly, you know, and we're surrounded by elderly down here. And I think it's important, you know, even when I go see my dad, the joy and the knowledge from the people who are locked up there, basically, only because their bodies aren't functioning. You know, it's amazing because. There's a lot that goes on here with the kids that go.
You're
visit
right
them,
that they do know? Get neglected a lot, though.
It's, we just, you know, it's not fun. It's not, you know, I don't know. They just put them in a corner. Mm-hmm. And Europeans, like, we don't do that. You know, here, like, you go to Europe, they embrace everything. You bring their grandmother to dinner, the kids. They don't care if they throw them on the floor. Here, if it's not pretty, you put it in a corner, you know? And I think it's really difficult, but.
It's a shame.
There's a lot that goes on here with the groups that I've met through the Ballroom Battle that, you know, support that with memory loss. And it's like amazing stuff that happens in this community.
Yeah, I think that you really see a lot of people here that, you know, we've had blessed lives. You know, it's an upper echelon community, and we are trying to give back to the less fortunate and make a difference, touch some hearts, change some lives. That's an inspirational story, just what some makeup, a little makeover could do to someone's psyche. It's not just the physical. It's kind of the mental enhancements that you're giving.
It does. You know what it is too? It's touch. It's human. Like actually spending a few minutes with somebody. Because I get that a lot, even when I do makeup. You know, I do these personal appearances where I'll. You know, we did an event in Texas. We sold $100,000 in 2 days. It was a crazy event, but the people will suck you into their story, and all somebody wants is a little attention. Somebody to acknowledge them. You know. And I see that a lot at every level. It doesn't matter if you're, you know, driving a Bentley or, you know, coming on the bus.
We're talking here to Tim Quinn, celebrity makeup artist. I got to drop a couple names here because this man has done makeup for, I mean, it's an endless list of names from Glenn Close, Gwen Stefani, Hilary Swank, Brooke Shields, Brittany Snow. I got to hear a little bit, you know, from Tina Turner, Uma Thurman. The list just goes on and on of just a...
Oh, Tina was an amazing moment, actually.
Tell us a little about that.
She was like, so we were doing a show in Beijing and...
I mean, you need to travel everywhere, huh?
Yeah, sometimes it's a little much. But that, you know, it's exciting. And when I got there, normally I do the backstage makeup, but Tina Turner's really good friends with Mr. Armani, so she was a guest of honor. So they were like, oh, could you go to her room and do her makeup? You know, like, would you mind? I'm like, would I mind? Of course I'll go. But it was everything you wanted. You walked in and she had the Louis Vuitton, you know, like, I don't know even how many trunks with the wigs in them, and the music, her husband was playing her music, and she was just the vibe you wanted to be. Like, when something's magical like that, like, you know, it was not disappointing. So I really did enjoy my time. Of course, when we went to leave, she was like, oh, you can ride with us to the show. But I wasn't dressed up. Like, I was just doing makeup, you know? So, of course, we pull up, and she's like, well, you have to come in, but you can't let Mr. Armani see you without a jacket. I'm like, I love that. There's just, like, a certain elegance. But she was certainly one of my favorites. I mean, Glenn Close, the same thing the first time I met her. You know, I went to her house upstate. I'm like, oh, my God, she's cooking. All I could flashback up on the bunny, you know.
Because usually if you do makeup, it's not just – it's not one and done. You're kind of staying with them for touch-ups throughout the night, right? Or throughout the show.
Yeah, you know, I've been lucky because I've forged relationships with a lot of these women. So, you know, Maria Shriver, when she was the First Lady of California, we did a lot with her then. I met the most incredible women there. And, you know, I continued – it's funny how the worlds collide. Like, Rita, Tom Hanks' wife, was speaking here last year. So, of course, you know, when she came into town, she called me, oh, please go – you know, and I met her the first time with Maria all those years ago, but the world's pretty small, you know.
Certainly.
There's a few that I never need to see again.
I mean, the list of just celebrity women here is pretty incredible. I could just keep just name dropping here. Olivia Munn, Minnie Driver, Vanessa Simmons, Victoria Beckham, Deborah Messing, Diane Lane. Any of these names just kind of...
Oh, Deborah, no, I just saw her again. She launched, so when I launched Armani Beauty 18 years ago in LA, she was one of the like co-hosts with me for the launch party. And then, of course, Will and Grace was such a big show then. And now I hadn't seen her for quite some time. And now, of course, the show is back on the air, blah, blah, blah. So I was doing a celebrity event in LA in August. And she came up behind me, scared the life out of me. But, you know, we had that moment of like nothing had changed. I probably hadn't seen her in 15 years. Kerry Washington was there. Like women who are just like, they're the same like everybody else, you know. You see somebody you were friends with or you worked with 10 years from now, it's like you just jump back into the conversation. It's no different.
Is there a celebrity that is on your like bucket list, like, I have to do her makeup?
I mean, I really couldn't.
You don't get really starstruck. You don't really get starstruck. I mean, look, when you're working with these A-list in this class.
No, I can't really think of anyone like that would like blow me away. You know, it's like, whatever. Maybe not even Madonna, because I've met her before. Yeah, I mean, I've been pretty fortunate all across the world. Like, I'm very excited though because Tuesday I'm going back to New York. So one of my dear friends who actually helped me through my whole cancer battle was Andrea Mitchell, who's the NBC foreign correspondent. Now, I was an economics major, so her husband, Alan Greenspan, was like a god to me in college. You know, so when I met her all these years ago, we just stayed friends. I mean, she was amazing when I got sick, but she's getting a daytime Emmy for News on Tuesday in New York City. So she sent me a text, blah blah blah. You know, we talk all the time. I was like, well, I'm going to be there for you. And she's like, oh, it's so not necessary. This isn't like the red carpet moment, but it's very important in our business. I'm like, it's important to me. I'm going to be there. You know, like, those are the things. And I get all my information from her because I can't pay attention to the news. It's like, down here, you watch the news, you find about a shark attack, whatever. It's like, what really happened?
Pretty cool story from economics to celebrity makeup artist, though.
Yeah. I mean, crazy. I mean, I was flying around in a hot air balloon for Jose Cuervo for a while. Then I did the movie thing. I owned an ice cream store down in Pompano for like a year when I thought that was going to be fun. You know.
Ice cream? People don't eat that stuff anymore.
This was a long time ago. I thought I could go play tennis all day and just like, you know, it didn't work out.
Any other tips or trends? You see a lot of people making mistakes with makeup right now. You know, you were talking earlier about it's more about enhancing and not masking, which I think is a great, great tip. What are people doing wrong that you just constantly keep seeing and you're like, oh, I can't believe they're still doing that?
I think that you know, it's they get caught up in trying to recreate themselves into someone else. I think, you know, especially with makeup, it's one thing if you're, you know, you're doing that for like a reason, but if you're just trying to make yourself look better and you don't have a clear picture of who you are, you suddenly become somebody else by trying to do like giant eyebrows when you know that's not your look, or changing your complexion color. You know, it's like an assessment of, you know, what you really look like and what you want to look like, and is it reality? Like, I always say that even when I see the fashions come down, because we do the fashion shows every year. You know, what you see on the runway is just an inspiration. It doesn't mean you have to take it literally. You know, so if
some of those outfits and makeup was they're a little out there.
I mean, that doesn't mean you want to wear it to the grocery store, you know, or maybe you do. It's fine. But like, even with color trends, because, you know, like neons would come in and come out, whatever. But, you know, there's a age appropriateness sometimes. There's, you know, there's a lot you have to kind of like navigate. And sometimes you can't rely on your friends, because sometimes your friends don't want you looking any better than them. So
that's not nice.
And that's just how the world works, you know.
Come on. People got to be supporting their friends.
Mm-hmm. You know, or you need new friends if those are the ones you have.
Listen, someone's successful in your circle, you're going to benefit from it. So
I just had this conversation with a couple of kids I've been mentoring. And like, you know, somebody said that to me years ago when I was a broker. I was a broker at Merrill Lynch for like a minute. It was not for me. But the two women who were women brokers at the time that I kind of like latched onto said to me, you've got to lose your friends, because we've been watching how they are with you. They don't want to see you do any better. And every time you have something to champion, they don't celebrate with you. So why would you want to be around them? And it really stuck with me, you know.
Keep those, what do they say, keep the enemies closer? What's that old analogy?
Yeah, keep your friends close, the enemies closer, yeah.
We were talking to celebrity makeup artist Tim Quinn. I want to just share just some of this man's accomplishments and what he's done in the makeup realm, because he's been recognized. You were featured as one of the 25 beauty stars in W Magazine, and you won a Genius Award in Elle Magazine. What did those two accomplishments mean to you?
Well, the W Magazine happened at the beginning of launching Armani Beauty, so at a time when magazines really mattered, and unfortunately it's not as strong. I'm hoping it's going to loop around, but it validated something that I didn't necessarily need, but sometimes especially when you're launching a brand, it's different. We didn't have social media, so that mattered, you know, right? The L, you know, that was amazing, because the stories, I've always been very consistent in my approach to makeup, so it kind of just, what they did, and then I was this other Hollywood icon award thing, which was actually interesting too, because I was sick when they wanted to give me the award. I was like, literally, you know, in the hospital. So I, you know, turned it down. But when I, you know, wrote them back, and they're like, we want you to come next year. And you probably noticed, like, I walk with a limp because of the tumor damage. So I was going up to the stage, and they play the music, and it was, what was that? The American Boy was the song they were playing, but it was going on and on and on. So finally, like, somebody made some comment in the audience. And Jordana Brewster, who's a friend, was presenting it to me. And she's like, take your time, baby, take your time. I was like, you know what? That's my message. It's like, you don't have to rush to anything. And Tim Snow said it today in rehearsal, like the next couple of days, like, just enjoy the process, because when it's over, you know, you have your memories.
We always ask our guests to kind of share some words of wisdom, some golden nuggets, I like to call them. So that those are some good ones. Anything else you could share with our viewers and listeners? Because you've had a fulfillment life here, and you've done a lot of things. You experienced a lot, and you've overcome a lot as well. Any other words of wisdom, golden nuggets to share with our viewers?
Well, you know, I tell my... So every year I do a beauty summit for like 500 makeup artists that work for us across the country. So I think it was last year we were talking about the importance of giving back. And a lot of them had questions about, like, you don't have to have money to give back. You know, giving back your time is more important sometimes than just writing a check. But what I did say to them, and I really meant it, was, you know, you have to live by your word. And if you say you're going to do something, show up and be present. And I think that it kind of resonated with them, because it's very easy. I see it all the time now. People show up, but they're not really there because they're all on their phone. Or they're, you know, you're invited to do something. You say you're going to do it, show up, put that down, and, like, be in the moment you're in. Because you miss a lot of magic if you're not.
I think that's hard with today's day and age, but you hear that, and I think when you do that and you take it in, it's a lot more rewarding, it's a lot more memorable, and the experience is a lot more fulfilling for sure.
Of course, because you miss so much, because you might be sitting across from the most amazing person, and because you're so caught up in, like, you know, what the Kardashians are doing, you're not learning anything, or you're missing that.
What's your thought on the Kardashians? I mean, we've had so many guests come on here that just keep bashing them. They're like, they're talentless. You know,
I think they're very talented to do what they've done.
Like, they built some empire, right?
Listen, and the whole family. I feel they keep making more of them. They just keep appearing. But it's pretty amazing, because, you know, what is the Kylie that's now the billionaire from? Mm-hmm. You know, they know their market. They played it well. You know, they had a mother who really pushed them, which, you know, I think is like the key to it all. You know, still got mine. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with, you know. I feel like there's room for everybody, you know what I mean? Like, do your thing.
Well, that's a thing. I think that, you know, you talked about earlier about, you know, some of your friends not being happy for you or not encouraging you or not supporting you is, you know, there's enough food on the table is kind of like an analogy where there's enough for everyone to be successful and win and accomplish what you're looking to do, you know. So I think that people need to stop sending negative energy to their friends or their peers or their competitors and kind of focus on just positive energy for themselves.
100%. I don't think, you know, we don't do that often enough. I think that, you know, I've pretty much built my life on surrounding myself with people who lift me up, you know, as much as I can do for them. And, you know, listen, I miss, you know, I worked with the Bidens for 8 years. I miss Jill because I would spend a lot of time with Dr. B. You know, she just wrote a book like about just life lessons. And that's what we don't do as much in this world anymore. Like, that's why I like to go hang out with my dad and play Rummy Cube, which is like mindless, but not really, because while you're playing this game, you have a conversation, you know.
What was it like working with Kim Cattrall? We have a lot of Sex and the City fans.
Oh, gosh, she was amazing. I loved her. Well, I still love her, but that was at the height of that show. That was like insanity. We took her to Milan for Fashion Week, and it was just, I mean, so my PR person, I had the same person for 18 years, so she and I were like brother and sister, like we knew everything. So I'm doing Kim's makeup. Now, this is the height of the show. And Kelly is like, are those real? As I'm doing her, you know, she had a robe, I'm doing her makeup. She like just drops everything. She's like, yeah, you can touch them. I'm like, I'm going to kill her. her lips, whatever. But that's how she is. She's just very, open and lovely and fun. And
they were fabulous.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. It was like everything, the skin. And then they got into way too much conversation about how to keep everything supple. I was like, la da da. What am I going to go do makeup?
No, you need these nuggets and these advice to share with your clients.
And Kim was very, and she's very open. She wrote books about it, you know. It's pretty amazing, you know, especially at a time. And she was kind of doing that before. And like now, we're like 10, 15 years later, everybody's trying to, you know, keep the fountain of youth going. But at that time, she was kind of like, and she was only probably 50. But, you know, you didn't see a lot of 50-year-olds on TV. Now we have Jane Fonda at 80, you know, it's like a different level of aspiration.
I mean, now they're shooting Botox in every part of your body now, though, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's like a lot. Like, you know, I'm guilty of it, too.
Shouldn't they just embrace aging, or you just want to anti-age? Any solutions?
I mean, I feel like there's, you know, there's always been that. I mean, it used to be, I used to just tape people's necks before, you know, that we're afraid to get surgery. Like, literally take surgical tape, put it here. If you have long hair, you'd never notice it, and it, like, tightened everything up. Or we had the little things you put under the hair. Like, they used to do more with wigs. So people have been trying to look younger forever. It's like now we just have all this new technology. I think you have to be careful of, like, you know, take a look at who they're doing. Or it's like getting going to a hairstylist. You have to, like, find the right one for you, you know, the right fit.
Is there a certain, like, makeup line you'll only work with, or are you contracted with one? What kind of products are you using?
Well, Armani. That's who I represent. Yeah. I mean, I, you know, like to mix it up, you know. Like, I learn from my clients, too, you know. Like, I like to see what they're using. Skincare, makeup, eyebrow pencil, the perfect, like, you know, everybody's always got something.
Are you putting sunscreen on every day of your life or no? Tell me about sunscreen down here in South Florida.
So I do, even though I'm always tan. I use sunscreen every day because when I got sick, of course, immediately, because I've been tan my whole life, everybody thought I had skin cancer. I'm like, no. So I wasn't, even when I was sick, that's why I kept looking good, because I would put self-tanner on while going through chemo and radiation. So at least I felt like it looked like me, you know, because you look at yourself the way you've always been, all of a sudden you're not. Like, I was the dream boy for American Cancer, like, 5 years ago. Or I had to speak in front of 800 people in New York, all my peers. I didn't know behind me. My sister had given them photos of when I was sick. Like, pretty much nobody at the time really saw me with no hair. I always wore little caps from the ceremony. I didn't know behind me were, like, these pictures. I mean, I was, like, 40 pounds thinner. I looked like really bad. And I was like, oh, chatting away. All of a sudden, I saw the screen. I'm like, I'm going to kill her when I get out of here. But, you know, things matter or not. But when you identify with what you look like, and then that's taken away, and that's what the beauty of makeup, I think.
Tell me a little bit more about what's kind of next now. You continuously give back. You're a true humanitarian. You're an advocate. Do you have any other short-term goals, long-term goals for yourself on this planet Earth? What else do you want to accomplish or do?
I mean, just yesterday I went and toured the cancer center here, which is really remarkable, by the way. It's beautiful, first of all, and I feel it should be, because one thing when I was at Mass General, now it's changed. It's been 12 years. You know, I never shared a bedroom with anybody but my brother in my life, and all of a sudden you're sick, you know, really sick, and you're sharing a room with horrible pain. Like, it just made you feel awful. So what I've got involved with that hospital, I still am, with like redoing the cancer center or whatever, and when I toured here, but they have a program here similar to Look Good, Feel Better, but it's all supported by the local money raised at the Think Pink luncheon, where...
Oh, at the Boca Resort.
Yeah. I go to that every year, but I didn't realize that the money they raise in this like live auction thing or live bid thing they do funds this program, which is volunteers, and they sit and they, you know, people going through treatment, they can come in, they get a gift bag of, you know, skincare and makeup. They teach them how to use it, how to draw your eyebrows back on. And they're developing it more for men because, you know, like I said before, men are a little more reticent. They don't talk about it as much. But yet, I feel like that world's changed a little. Even with skincare, like, men are a little more inquisitive. I wear those little eye patches sometimes before I go to dance. And a couple of the other guys.
Was that for the bags under the eyes?
Yeah, it helps with the, you know, the fine lines. And,
or know, the crow's, is that for crow's feet? Or
it's for, well, there's different ones. The one I wear for more for the fine lines and for too much wine. but, you know, all of a sudden that opened up a conversation. Like, can guys use this? I'm like, well, I'm wearing them. But yeah, well, like, men are very interested, but they maybe don't know who to ask or something. So there's a lot. And then, of course, I want to get more involved with what my parents go through, you know, with the elderly. I feel like we're in an aging population, and we're in a part of the world that tends to attract more and more. And we do very well at the level of, like, the people who can live in, like, a palace and have, you know, whatever, but it's that in between, you know, if you're like, you're not on Medicaid but you're not in a mansion, like, it's the in between that falls through the cracks, because it's very hard to navigate the, you know, healthcare system, and you have to have an advocate.
Well, you gave some good advice earlier. It's not always about just financial contributions. It's just volunteering, it's kind gifts, and even just going to one of these old age homes, these nursing homes, and having a brief conversation. You could add years, months to someone's life by just giving them that type of connection.
It's remarkable. I mean, my dad never painted. And last year he turned 79. They had an art class there. Now he's doing oil paintings. And I sold a bunch of them on Instagram to raise money for the scholarship fund, mainly because he wanted to feel like he was doing something. I had people from all over the world writing in. They were like, you know, $50, $100, whatever. And, of course, then I had to go mail all the damn things out. But it made him feel really great. And actually, the paintings are pretty damn good for, like, only doing it for a year. And here was a talent he didn't know he had, you know?
You're a great son.
Well,
I don't know if people tell you that enough.
No, I know that, but I mean, I have great parents, you know?
Equals. I like that. Make sure you follow Tim Quinn Beauty on Instagram. That's Tim Quinn, Q-U-I-N-N Beauty. Tim Quinn Beauty on Instagram. Great follow. Like he said, he's always selling now oil paintings on there. Provides great makeup tips, strategies, the greatest new product lines. He shares behind-the-scenes footage, working with these celebrities, just really cool. I think everybody, I guess in your opinion, why, I think maybe it's more in America, why are we so infatuated with celebrities, with what they're doing, what they're wearing, who they're dating? Why is that?
It's just a culture that was generated. I mean, Hollywood made that happen all those years ago. You know, it's like it never changed. I mean, we spend more time. I mean, I've always been fascinated by old Hollywood. You know, like, I met Zsa Zsa Gabor. I thought I died and went to heaven. You know, I became friends with her daughter. I was like, oh, wow, because I would watch her videos. Like, that was a woman who I was fascinated by her makeup. Farrah, the same thing. It's just that, you know, we've created these temples to people that aren't really valid. I mean, Farrah used to call my dad, and, you know, she's like, it's okay if I call your daddy. Will he know who I am? I'm like, are you kidding? He'll be talking about that, you know, at club for the rest of his life. But, you know, there were just people. But we've managed to somehow make this.
We all put our pants on the same way, but we've certainly put them on a pedestal. Who's your man and woman crush? Who's the most beautiful woman and man right now in Hollywood?
Well, for the women, honestly, only, and not because I work with her a lot and I adore her, is Diane Lane. I feel like I've worked with her for over a number of years. There's something about her that is just truly beautiful inside and out, and she has an appeal. She doesn't offend men. She doesn't offend women. Like, out of all the people I've worked with, there's, like, such an innate beauty of her that it's unbelievable. And the guys, I mean, I'm kind of old school. I still have a crush on, you know, George Clooney. Yeah.
Hey, sexiest man alive. He's still keeping that title, I think.
Mm-hmm. And George Hamilton, of course, was my idol. So
kind of look like him a little bit.
Morphing into him.
That's a compliment. That's another handsome man. Well, we appreciate your time coming in today. We're going to wish you best of luck at the ballroom battle. Break a leg. And I want you to be a shining star. win over that crowd and be fearless out there. We losing the shirt. What are you doing on the stage? I know you got some surprises for us.
No, you know what? So the dance where I didn't get into, like, I'm dancing a tango that's very, like, powerful. So I wanted to wear a tuxedo. But the dance wear feature, like, when you go online and, like, look to buy this stuff, it's all like that stretch. Like, it's not me. And I did wear something to one rehearsal. And one of the women who knows me for a long time is like, that's the cheapest fabric ever. That, I heard that in my head, like, whatever. So I took, like, a $3,000 cashmere Armani tuxedo to a tailor and had them basically cut the underarm out. Because the interesting thing with dance is that a normal jacket won't move. Like, the whole thing moves with you. So all those clothes, really, you just need the stretch here. Because, you know, think about it. Like, when you're wearing a suit, like, it is kind of, like, confining.
A little restricting it.
So by moving that, and I thought I was going to ruin it, like, you can't even tell, so I'm so happy, because I'll feel more like me in that than I will in, like, you know, a $500 thing you buy from China.
Well, we can't wait to see you move. Make sure you go support him. Go right to his Instagram. That will direct you to everything. So if you go to Tim Quinn Beauty, that will bring you to everything from his ballroom battle dance competition that's going on to his Seashell Love Project and Peace Love Solve, correct?
Peace Love Solve.
Peace Love Solve. So awesome initiatives. I really appreciate what you're doing for our country, for our community, for the less fortunate. Like I said, you are a philanthropist, you are a humanitarian, and you're just overall a kind, good human being. We need more of you out there. Spread it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Take advantage. We appreciate your time today. Viewers, listeners, thank you for your time as well. Always like, share, subscribe, do all that great fun stuff. The producers appreciate it. Helps us bring on guests like Tim Quinn here onto the show. So thank you, everyone, for joining us on another episode of the Talk Golden to Me video podcast here at the Lofts of Berman & Berman. Always, we appreciate your time. We're out of here.